Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be back, Jim. Thank you.
Mark, do we still have a special offer for our listeners?
Yes, let's give them the 2022 half off, which gives them 50% off of any of our newsletters at VRTrader.com. That's the promo code, 2022 half off. Just go to VRTrader and enter that in the promo code slot for any newsletter you would like to sign up for. Also, I like to disclose I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. Thank you.
Your brick-and-mortar retailers still not doing all that well. Bed Bath Beyond has gone into the Beyond, filing for bankruptcy protection. Lyft, announcing it's laying off a little over more than a quarter of its workforce. Are we still seeing more little chips and jabs at the U.S. economy?
You know, there's a lot of false jobs data out there, and what you report probably is correct. There's been so much of a cover-up with the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, in the last several months. So, you know, big companies laying off people, but the BLS statistics, you know, telling you things like, you know, the things are more positive than they really are. So, this is the unfortunate scenario out there. The reality is that you, at least in the stock market, you got a few big names that are moving the market, but, you know, under the surface, you've got the Lyft and Bed Bath and Beyond and other situations unfolding. I mean, Frankly, office space vacancies are soaring, which is not a great sign, you know, for either real estate or the economy. It's like today, Meta, which is the former Facebook, you know, comes out with a positive report and the stock's up 30 points and everybody's all excited. The unfortunate part of it is we have a handful of stocks in the S&P that really move the entire index. And you got individual stories like the Disney story going on between Florida Governor DeSantis and the corporate head Bob Iger, and, you know, speculation that stock goes up, you know, 4 or 5 points, and that helps the Dow Industrials. So there's a lot of like individual things that are moving the market. It's really comical, really, what's sort of happening out there. The big issue really to talk about is, you know, the contracting credit that's going on out there. I mean, credit is contracting. The Fed is, you know, pulling back the amount of money available. The loan requirements seem to be getting tighter from what I hear from bankers. This is not going to end well. I mean, there's going to be more and more of this is going to impact business. And, we're just getting lipstick on the pig when you see the stock market up 500 points on a given Thursday for what I feel is window dressing at the end of the month for a handful of big name stocks. We're in a recession. Officially, they don't want to state that. The Fed continues on its current course, and we're not even talking about geopolitical or any other issues that are going on out there. I mean, it's really wild. I mean, it's like the Fed, quarter point, they're going to raise next week or not. Not talking about credit contraction and, like I mentioned, the office space issue, a lot of individual companies. And we have big divergences. You know, we look at the S&P, you know, the Dow, you know, the NASDAQ in particular because of some of these big name stocks. But you look at the Dow Transports, which historically is a leading index for the major market moves. That's been, except for a bounce today, has been pretty much in a downtrend. Russell 2000, which represents small stocks, were also underperforming the big indexes. I don't want to sound, you know, doom and gloomy here, but, you know, some may go away. We are in a seasonally negative period. We have the summer solstice coming up. I've mentioned this several times into mid-June. Last June, it was a big low in the market. We'll see if that happens again. And, you know, we have the big four-year presidential cycle, which I've mentioned. And, of course, that's many, many months and stretches out. But generally, you know, that could help be coincident with a low point in the market at any point between now and the fall, even into early next year. So, you know, you got to trade them. Or, as I mentioned previously, you're in treasury bills. Just stay out of this mess for a while until, you know, supposedly the bull market resumes. And the fact that so many analysts have recommended the treasury bill has pretty much shot the firepower of the individual investor who says, gee, if I get 5%, and why do I have to fool around? You know, that's money that could be in the market that's not going to be in the market for a while unless rates really come down or there's something else dramatic that forces investors, you know, back into the market. So, you know, I hate to sound and use the word crash, you know, but there are similarities I'm seeing between now and 1987, and the credit contraction is part of it, and the investors being on the sidelines being part of it. And, you know, not to mention what's going on, not talk at all, really, what's going much on in Europe or Taiwan or North Korea or Iran, Israel. I mean, anything in a minute could change things, you know, dramatically. And it's, I think a lot of it is being covered up or not even being discussed. I mentioned the false jobs reports we keep getting. So, you know, the other side of the coin, Jim, you know, is the market just going to climb a wall of worry? And is this the plunge protection team at work out there? I mean, the power of the government to manipulate the market is great. We see it already at the Fed, you know, with interest rates and credit expansion or contraction. But we really hear very little or zero discussion. And I only bring it up because, you know, my mind mulls around what else could be going on ever since the Ronald Reagan created the Working Group of Financial Markets back in 1988. The government secretly has the ability and does it all the time, either through the Fed or the Treasury or other places, to go in there and actually buy the S&P or Dow futures and individual stocks and play with the market. And that's why it was called, they called the Plunge Protection Team or the Working Group of Markets. But there's, like, almost, like I say, almost zero discussion about that activity, if any, and if it's going on, the press doesn't really want to talk about it. So could that be what's going on? The government is out there supporting the markets, because even though everything is bad, keep it from looking even worse. And that's a, you know, a possibility, I suppose. The charts tell us, yes, you can always get rallies, but we're not in a particularly strong time frame, I believe, between now and the fall. So you got to be a little suspicious of the 500-point end-of-the-month window dressing up days like we had on Thursday.
Yeah, speaking of going up, crude had a bit of a bounce. Is that long or short term?
You know, I'm still prejudiced about the crude oil chart and the potential over time. It's still in a little, corrective mode here in the last couple of weeks. Crude has backed off a little bit. I still think, you know, big picture, either for geopolitical reasons or just basically conversion to EVs and all the other stuff the world's been talking about, that, you know, the demand we have for, plus government restriction on the production of, you know, crude oil here in North America, unless that all changes. You know, I'm still overall a bull because we're going to need it. You know, I'm sort of biased to the long side, but the charts say wait for a little, you know, trading reversal pattern here. So, as a trader, I would wait another day or two to see if we get confirmation. Big picture, I remain, you know, positive, thinking easily 100 and possibly up to 200 a barrel or more in the next, you know, few years. But you got to go with the good names, you know, like we joked about this before. You know, why is Warren Buffett such a fan of Occidental Petroleum and keeps acquiring that position, for example? So I guess if I'm going to go with crude oil, I'd rather own Oxy and join forces with Warren Buffett.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Bitcoin had a bit of a positive bounce. What's the outlook there?
Yeah, I like it. We jump back in there. You know, I'm big picture bullish on that. Like, I suppose I am on crude oil for its own separate reasons. I mean, basically, you know, if we got credit contraction and we got banks failing, worrying about the safety of our money, you know, there are alternate places, you know, real estate, Bitcoin, you know, crypto, gold, all kinds of alternatives. So it popped back up again. So, of course, I'm using, when I say Bitcoin, I'm not actually doing the Bitcoin itself. There's a trust, the GBTC, which is the Bitcoin Trust, which, you know, is sort of the surrogate, the vehicle that we've talked about on these interviews. I mean, the darn thing was way up there, like $58 or more a share within the last year or two, and dropped all the way down to $8. Now it's around 16 and a half. I think, you know, it depends what your time frame is. I mean, this thing could trade around a little bit, but we like it. I like the Bitcoin. And what's his name? Gary Gensler, the SEC chairman. I think I saw him on the news today foaming at the bit about regulating cryptos. But from my understanding, whether he'll be successful or not, that's a whole other discussion. But Bitcoin itself, I think, was tagged as a commodity. So I think it's sort of outside of his purview of regulation, at least for the moment. But I guess the big fear, Jim, is, you know, is the government going to be creating these digital cryptos and force us to take all our money in, you know, money in the bank overnight, convert it to a digital currency and so forth and so on. Is that going to happen? When? What the impact of that would be? You know, it's a challenge of our freedoms and government scrutiny of our lives. So that sort of worries me more. Where are they really at that process? And can we avoid it somehow if and when it occurs? If you know it's coming and you don't want the digital currency, you got to get all your money out of the banks and into physical assets or into crypto or something else, I suppose.
Well, in India, they forced everybody to get a bank account that they didn't want them to use cash. And they started confiscating cash. Could that happen here?
Right. In fact, I published that article in the BR Trader newsletter just in the last couple of weeks. Right. And this is what worries me. And what are the, you know, consequences of that for us and our freedoms here? Yep. And it absolutely can it happen? Yes. And that worries me. So I don't like keeping a lot of money in banks. You know, I'd rather own your real estate, gold, or be in trading accounts with individual stocks. You know, try to keep it out of the banks for that reason. But I suppose if you have access to it and it's electronic and it's like a credit card, it's just magic money, so to speak. It's not like you're holding the physical cash in your hand. Maybe most people won't object to it the way freedom fighters or people who want to be, you know, independent and the movement of their money believes. So time will tell. We're so brainwashed today. The government does such a great job in doing that, making us think bad things are good. And who knows, maybe the public will accept it and we'll take it from there. But we have no time frame, do we, except a lot of jabbering from Janet Yellen and others that they're sort of working on something.
Well, the Freedom Convoy in Ottawa sure showed the government is very eager to seize or freeze your bank account.
That's right. At least Trudeau did it. That's true. That's it. We got a lot of cross currents here and challenging our freedoms. And one way to do that, of course, is to control your money. So it's really crazy times. I just think the world's upside down in so many ways, politically, socially. We can go through a whole litany of things that are what's so-called wrong here. A lot has to do with the powers that are in charge right now. So what can you do? You know, you just try to survive. Hopefully your money is safe where it's at. And you stay healthy, and that's all you can do in this crazy time frame we're at. But I think it's going to get crazier between now and you know, the fall and into next year. And then you got all the is there going to be a political change here in the U.S. and whether that's going to impact you know, the markets and how it will impact the markets. It's a sort of our job here day to day. So, you know, I guess I could just step back. It's almost like referring to the plunge protection team. I mean, we've gone through so many crises, bad presidents, good presidents in the U.S., you know, bad leadership around the world, wars, you know, and the net result is we're still here. Markets still tend to want to still go up for whatever reason, just because I guess they want to inflate prices, and even the communist Chinese want to make money. Whether that involves buying farmland in the U.S. and controlling Africa. But the bottom line is they're communist capitalists. So everybody seems to be greedy and want to make money no matter how bad the scenarios are out there. So, you know, we could talk about a lot of bad things that have that happened at the time, but the net result were positive markets. So we'll see.
Does there have to be a bigger push in North America and Europe to make our own computer chips? Most are made in Taiwan, and it's of course we know China's getting bigger, noisier about taking that country over, and they have the military that could do it. And of course, as we've seen in Ukraine, those missiles seem to be pretty indiscriminate about what they take out.
Well, we're here, right here in Phoenix. Yeah, right here in Phoenix, we have Taiwan Semiconductor building, you know, maybe about 25 minutes north of where I'm sitting, you know, supposedly the largest semiconductor, facility, on earth. And I guess Taiwan's doing it because they're based in Taiwan, and I guess they want to get the hell out of, Taiwan. So there are ways of replacing the, technology, and if they blow up Taiwan, hopefully, at least on the semiconductor side, plant here in Phoenix's operation, among others.
We've seen some pretty tremendous northern lights lately. Huge solar storms. Has had that any impact on things like satellite communications?
I'm sure it has. In fact, we you know, I just had published in the newsletter just last night, just a little notice about the solar flare situations you were talking about. They were so visible. There were some photographs at spaceweather.com. If you go there, at very southern latitudes where you could see them, but there's so many reports of the solar flares and the CMEs, they call them, affecting shortwave radio and stuff around the world that are just not widely reported at all. No, they really don't even talk about it. Just have to dig for the information. So you and I are sort of fantasizing about the Carrington event from the mid-1800s, if that ever occurred again. And yes, it will at some point. Will it be in our lifetimes or not? But, you know, we got so much other stuff going on, too. I mean, I post, I think there's 47 active volcanoes on the planet right now. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on that are just, you know, people don't even talk about, including, you know, the lunar cycles or the seasonal cycles that I refer to when I say, you know, watch out for, you know, June. That could be a possible low point. So when it happens, I suppose. And if you happen to be in Turkey in a bad earthquake, then obviously reality strikes for you, where otherwise it's just news reports.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure. See you next week. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.